This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network in beautiful, glorious Clearwater, Florida. The perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. This half hour is sponsored by Larson & Larson, intellectual property lawyers. Are you a writer, illustrator, or inventor? You need to protect your valuable intellectual property. The attorneys at Larson & Larson can help you. For a free consultation, call 727-546-0660. They're my lawyers. They should be yours. Well, I'm very excited today. I have a wonderful guest on, Lori Wild. I don't even know where to start. She has sold 79 works of fiction to four major New York publishing houses. Wow. Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you? I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, this is fantastic. You know, just saying that, I mean, don't you just get a thrill up your spine every time somebody says to you, 79 works of fiction? Wow.
Sometimes I feel tired.
it's really fantastic to talk to you. I just, I love your books, and I particularly because I am such a baseball crazy person. I love baseball. And so this latest work of yours, you know, it's just called Love of the Game, and it's called a Stardust Texas novel. By the way, you're putting Texas on the map, right? Like you just keep naming cities and I'm sure people go driving around Texas saying, "Where's Stardust? Where's Twilight?" Because Twilight is the name of the other city that you've used it in your book series.
I like to come up with like cute little names for the towns, you know, because it sounds romantic, but I almost always base them on a real place. I just fictionalize it, or I morph a few towns together. It really helps me to go to those places and look around, and Jody Thomas calls it walking the land, and it really adds a sense of authenticity to it. If you can find a real place, it sort of captures your imagination, and you can spin off.
Well, I happen to know the town that you base yours on is Granbury, Texas, not far from Fort Worth. And my sons were born in Texas, and were in, you know, we moved to Florida when they were young, but we were in Texas quite a few years. And we used to go up to Fort Worth to Suzuki music festivals.
Oh, yeah. That's really good.
Yeah,
Fort Worth is definitely cowboy country as opposed to Dallas, which is like almost considered East Texas to us on the west side.
Exactly. That's what I thought. And of course, Granbury is a lovely little town. And I know that once a year, they turn it into Twilight, Texas.
Yeah, that's been going on for a couple of years now. That's so much fun to see my characters come to life, and you can stroll the streets, and they have the events that are in the book. They have some of them taking place right there on the square at Christmas. It's really like such a great honor for them to do that for me.
Well, it's a fantastic. Not many authors get a town to change their name even for a day. And of course, your Christmas books are so delightful, and I can see why they want to embrace them and have a really great time for all of your fans.
Well, it's almost become like I have to go to Twilight every Christmas. And if I ever like wanted to write about something else at Christmas, I might have to think twice because everybody's starting to expect the Twilight Christmas book.
Well, I think so. You have to stay in Twilight. They're just so cute. And of course, this new series, well, it's not the one that just came out on Tuesday, it's the third in the series of Stardust,
Texas?
Yes, it's
the third in the Stardust, Texas, uh-huh.
And, of course, it's Love of the Game, and it has a baseball guy. I love baseball guys, you know. And, you know, it's just awful. Right away, you just start describing him, you know. Wow. Wow. Yeah. You know, for any woman who reads that, well, you can't, once you start reading that. So tell us a little bit about Love of the Game and the idea, you know, of the sisters and the different stories. So just tell us a little bit about it.
My idea for the series came about, I had the thought, well, actually, Stardust is based on a real town, and in the book, it's an antique store, but in real life it was a bookstore, and the cat that's has PTSD, a Hurricane Sandy survivor, she's a real cat, but the one in real life survived Katrina. But I decided to make it Sandy because I didn't want everybody to worry about the cat was getting too old. So, anyway, it's about these four adopted sisters, and they're also very different, and they all have a different story and where they came from. And then there's this magic hope chest that that each sister opens as they find a key, and there's something special in the hope chest, particularly for them, that no one else sees the specialness of it. And that was a lot of fun trying to incorporate that into the stories as well.
Well, the new book, of course, follows the story of a baseball player who needs physical therapy to get himself back in shape. And tell us how you came out with that idea, and I really like the story.
Well, it started out with Kasia, the heroine of the story, is a physical therapist, and I knew that I was doing the baseball player, so I thought, well, if she's a physical therapist, obviously he has to be injured. So I put on my thinking cap and came up with Axel, somebody that's really driven, and all he's ever wanted is to succeed, but he's got a reason for why he's so driven, and it's a little bit of a tug on your heartstrings reason.
Well, in all of your books, you do have you have depth to your books with these stories, as in this case with Axel's story, and then of course with Kasia's story, and the finding of her a sister that she didn't know about.
Yes, and when I first started the story, I didn't know that about Kasia. I mean, I do a little bit of a character sketch before I start going, and it wasn't until I thought. As I was writing, I thought, well, why is this job so important to Kasia? What is it that she has that she needs? And then suddenly, just in my head, pops in this: she's got a sister she never knew existed, and the sister has special needs. And so I thought, oh my gosh, let me follow that trail. You know, that's how a writer's mind goes sometimes. You know, you're not sure what's going to happen, you jump in, and as you start to explore the character, all these different little side things show up, and then you figure out how you can incorporate that into the story structure.
Well, it's very touching, and as you said, the sister has special needs, and how you bring this sort of to the reader and make it so very very touching story. I really enjoyed that. Had you experience with special needs children before?
I was a nurse before I was a writer, and I worked with special needs kids and young adults. So I knew that there was a tendency for people to view someone with special needs, even when they were adults, as if they were children. And I have cautious have that expectation at the beginning. Her sister is a young adult, just you know, in her 20s, early 20s. But she's still a woman in her 20s, even though she's, you know, has special needs, and Kasia has to learn how to realizes that, hey, she's not a child, and that's part of Kasia's story growth.
Exactly, it does develop very nicely, along with, of course, her relationship with this hunk guy that we. And you are very descriptive about this hunky guy. I don't know if you spend a lot of time around baseball players' locker rooms, but your descriptions are really good.
Well, in the very beginning too, I wanted to kind of, they start off together. You know, a lot of times in the books you kind of build up, you start with the heroine and her story and the hero and his story, but this book they start off right together. And one of the reasons I did that was because I knew she's his physical therapist, and so for her to become involved with him on a personal level would be unethical. So I knew the story was going to be a slow burn, because I knew they couldn't get together until she was no longer his therapist. So I had to have something like to grab everybody's interest. So I thought, okay, let's just start in the middle of things. Let's get that attraction right out there. And what better way to do it than to really describe what he was like?
And you do. You do it very well. Very well. Many pages that all of your female readers will really appreciate.
So well, I'm glad to hear that.
It's great. It's delightful. It's, of course, this is the third in the series, and the other, the one earlier, which was the third book in. Oh wait, which one was it?
The second one is Rules of the Game.
Yes, and which one was it? Now that was optioned, has been optioned. Which of your books?
None of the ones for this series.
Not for this series yet. Well, I think somebody has to option it because I want to see more of the baseball players. Oh, I love also the name of the baseball team.
You know, the Gunslingers.
Yeah, you're really out there, you know, with this name because I don't think I really liked it. I can't say it. I like this name. I wish somebody could actually name a team.
Name a team of Gunslingers. Yeah. I don't know if that would be politically correct nowadays.
No, you couldn't do it nowadays. But for a book, it works fine, and I think it really sets a tone for a nice Texas baseball team. That's for sure.
Well, I think Florida could have that team too.
Well, that's true too. But I think it's great. I really love it. So, you know, so none of these have been optioned yet.
None of them in this series. I have had a book option in the Twilight Texas series, The First Love Cookie Club, and right now I have interest from a movie producer for the Hallmark Channel looking at All Out of Love from the Cupid Texas series and my Wedding Bell Wishes series, all four of those.
Oh, so the Wedding Bell Wishes series would be great as a Hallmark.
Fingers crossed that something happens with those. So
that would be a really great one for the Hallmark Channel. Well, all of them, because I think you know, you touch the heartstrings with your stories. Are as I said, you have this layer of complex, you know, of characters. So it's not just one. You know, it's just not the girl after the guy type of thing. You have a nice way of bringing in a lot of different characters and touching on real important emotional elements.
Well, I think if you're going to write contemporary and you have to have something, and you're going to write a longer book, you have to have something to enrich the story, just from my opinion, whether it's the town, you know, or whether it's issues that come up within a relationship. I think that's really important. Now, when you're writing for, you know, when I was writing for Category, you could get away with just focusing on the relationship and nothing more. But I like to bring readers a deeper experience and pull them into, like, the new world or the world they're entering. And that's my way of doing it. Other people have different ways. You know, like suspense writers, they've got the mystery they can use. But if you're just writing straight romance, you have to find something else to add to full flavor.
And you're very accomplished at it. How do you do this when you're writing so many series? Do you write one series and finish it, or can you go back and forth between the series mentally?
I can actually. It sounds kind of weird that it's not more difficult than it is. But I think what helps me is when I go to write, I always make a collage of the characters in the town, now that there's Pinterest, you can just stick it up on there, and readers can go enjoy that too. And so I have a collage of the place, and like I said, I go to the place and I walk the land and I meet people, so I anchor the place in my head that way. And I also make a playlist for every book, and the playlist is for the book. It's not even songs I enjoy. It's songs that the characters would enjoy or that fit the theme of the story. And I play the playlist as I write, and then I also find a scent that represents the book, and I buy a candle, and then I'll burn the candle while I'm looking at the collage and listening to the playlist as I write. And so when I need to go back in that world, like when the editor sends you revisions and you're working on another book and they got revisions, like you're on the Twilight Texas series, and then they send me a revisions on the Stardust series, I need something to switch my brain, so I just put on the collage and the music and the scent, and then I'm back in that world. So that's how I found to help me enter the world.
Well, that's very clever. I think a lot of writers will you know, try that, because it is a good idea, and particularly with the music and the scent, they do conjure up a certain feeling. So it's very clever.
Well, I needed something, because, you know, as a writer, especially when I was writing 6 books a year, as a writer, you're on one book, and then you get revisions on another, and the same day you may get line edits on a third, and the day next you may get galleys on a fourth, so you might be on 4 books at one time.
Well, yeah, I had never thought to suggest that to a writer, but now that you mention it, it is a very good idea for a writer to do that, because I know I'm working on a book set in India in the 1800s. And I do play, like at 5 o'clock in the morning, I will play bagpipe music, because, you know, the British would have that in the mornings. As a matter of fact, it's very funny. I one of the stories that I discovered in my research for that is that one of the Maharajas so loved having the British bagpipes that he wanted to turn his troops into bagpipers. And so he had them, they learned how to play, and they were playing, and they'd march in the morning in front of his palace. And then one day he said, well, there's something wrong with these people. And then he realized that their legs were too dark. Because the British, of course, have white skin. So he made them all wear pink socks, long pink socks, so that they could parade up and back and forth in front of him playing the bagpipes in the morning. So, so.
Well, that's beautiful sort of details, though, that research gives you that you would never think of on your own. And I'd love to read the book.
Yeah, well, good. I hope I between everything else I'm doing, I hope that I get it done. Because it is fun. As you said, research is fun. Now you're not doing it, you know, too much. Well, I don't know. You do, other than researching baseball players, do you?
Yes, it's a hard job. Someone has to do it, though.
Oh, yes. And if you need anyone, I'll be happy to join you for that kind of research. Wow. So, you know, it's just so much fun to hear an author who has so much fun. You can hear the joy in your voice as you talk about all this this writing that you're doing. 79, oh my goodness.
Like I said, sometimes I feel a little tired. When I was doing 6 books a year, my husband had gotten laid off from work, and I was writing that much to, like, make up for his income. That's all I did was write. I never got out of the front of the computer. And after about 10 years of that, I'm like, I think I've earned the right to step back a little bit. But it also gives you time to go do more of the research and to go talk to people and go visit places, and it refills the creative well. So it's hard finding a balance between production and being able to go live a life so that you have something to write about.
Well, you know, of course, you've always been a writer. I know that you've been like a writer since you were a little girl, and there's a lot of, some writers come to it late, and then some, like, are just born into it.
Yeah.
So, but when was your first, how can I say, your critical success? Where you got an agent? Did you get an agent in New York? Was that your first big step, or how did you sort of break into the big time?
Well, because I started off in category, and I got into category through contest, and I would enter contests and win the contest, and I'd follow around this editor that I wanted to impress, and after about the sixth contest win, she asked to see the manuscript, and that's how I got into Harlequin. And then after I'd written about 8 Harlequins, I queried agents, and by then, since I'd already had the track record, it really wasn't difficult for me to get an agent in New York at that point. But you know, back then, things have changed so much with technology. It's just a whole different game. Back then, you didn't have to have an agent to get into Harlequin, but most big publishers, you did. So,
and so once you got an agent, then things really opened up for you.
Well, no, it wasn't quite that easy.
Oh, no, not quite that.
Wasn't quite that easy. You know, you have to find the right agent for you, and you don't really realize a lot of times until the agent has not been performing for you and doesn't answer your calls, and when you're new, you're like, oh, I have an agent, and you forget that they're working for you, and you need to have a business mind about it. And if they're not producing, you cut them loose, you know, just like you would anybody that was working for you and not producing. But you know, it's easy to get afraid that, oh, I'll never get another agent, you know, and so you play all these mind games with yourself. But at some point, you know, I had one agent when I said, well, what can I do to, you know, make my career better? What can I do to, you know, sell more books and be a better writer? And she said, well, Laurie, not everyone can be a star. And I thought, So I sat down and wrote a letter and went, not everyone can be a star, but I can, and I want an agent who believes that too, and sent it off and got rid of her. But in the meantime, there had been an agent who, she couldn't, you know, really steal me away, but every time I'd had a success, just out of the blue, she would send me a congratulations, and when she met me at conference, she would say really complimentary things. And so guess who I called when I left the other agent? And I've been happy ever since.
Well, that's a great story, because exactly what you said, that most writers don't understand the relationship. And I mean, they are so happy if an agent talks to them. So so it is nice to hear that story. I think that'll encourage a lot of writers to really look at what they have to do to move their careers along. Now, I have to take a little station break, but I want to come back, and I'm one of the things, of course, I want to talk to you about is, I know that you teach writing, and I want to talk a little bit about your book, God High Concept, The Key to Dynamic Fiction That Sells. Okay?
Okay. Okay, okay. Thank you.
Okay, great. We'll be right back.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com. Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Looking for a good book? Whether you want the latest bestseller or a rare book, Haslam's Bookstore at 2025 Central Avenue in downtown St. Petersburg is the place to visit. Haslam's has been in business for over 70 years and is the largest new and used bookstore in Florida. With 30,000 square feet and over 300,000 books, you'll find just the right book for you. Bestsellers, cookbooks, military, history, and so much more. Check out their website, www.haslams.com, to find out about their special events. Remember, Haslam's, one of Florida's true treasures, 2025 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg, and they're open on Sundays from noon to 5.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my guest, Laurie Wild, a best-selling New York Times best-selling author who has written so many books, 79, we're counting. And I'm so happy to have you back, Lori.
Well, thank you, Patsy.
Okay. And, you know, beside your wonderful novels that you write, you've written a book called, well, Got High Concept, The Key to Dynamic Fiction That Sells. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that because this is a program for writers. And you had mentioned already that you started off by entering a lot of contests, which I think is a great thing. And I've been encouraging the past month or so, I've been encouraging all of my listeners who have something ready to submit it to the Writer's Digest contest, which the deadline is May 6th. It's coming up. And even if you don't win first prize, it's just wonderful to be mentioned in a contest.
It is. And you'll be surprised what can come out of it. I actually got an honorable mention one time from Writer's Digest. Didn't win it, but I got honorable mention.
Well, it's really helpful. And, of course, when you're writing your query letters and, you know, you're trying to find an agent, having, you know, even an honorable mention means a lot. And particularly some Writer's Digest, when you get an honorable mention from Writer's Digest, it means something because they're reviewed by really top talent in the industry.
Yes, and they have so much competition, so I consider that a great honor to be mentioned.
Absolutely, and of course, you've won other contests. And let's talk a little bit about this book that you wrote about. I think it's almost like a workbook of the key to dynamic fiction that sells. So what is the key? And what should writers think about when they're ready to...
There's a whole system in the book, but I'll cut to the chase with it. It's taking a tried-and-true story and putting a unique spin on it. And if you start looking at movies or even just TV shows, they all have a unique spin on a tried-and-true trope. Because you want something tried-and-true, because that's why people watch. They like a particular trope for whatever reason. And so you don't want it something so unique and out there that nobody's interested in it. So that's why you take something that's familiar and put that twist on it to make it stand out. And the workbook takes you step by step how to do that. How I discovered it is I was when I told you that agent told me, you know, she didn't know how to help me basically get better. I thought, well, I got to find something. And everyone was talking about High Concept at the time. And I'd gone out to California to do a series of lectures when I was teaching for Ed to Go. And I took a screenwriting course. And what I learned from High Concept there, it worked for movies, but it didn't quite fit books. But I took what I learned there, and I came up with an idea for my book. And my had already published with Warner Books, but they had rejected my last submission. So I didn't, you know, I was still at that new stage where I was a little panicky about it. So I called them up and said, I've got this idea. And I said in 25 words over the phone, I said the 25 words. And she said, hang on a minute, put down the phone, went and talked to the senior editor, came back, and she said, we want to give you a two-book contract based on those 25 words. And then I had interest from 9 movie production companies once it was announced, once they saw the little blurb. So I thought, hey, I'm onto something here. So that's when I wrote their workbook, and I thought, okay, I can tell people how I did it. And I did. It was a step-by-step. I'm very analytical when it comes to writing. I break things down. I try to understand them. I'm not the kind of author who says, oh, it's magic. I don't want to know how it happens. I'm the opposite. It's like, how does it work? Because if the magic ever fails, I still want to be able to do it.
Well, I think it's a very useful book, and it's available, I know, on you can go to Amazon, and it's called Got High Concept. And if you look up Lori Wilde, you'll be able to find it. So I think it's well worth getting, and... you know, writers need all the encouragement and tools to sort of get into the marketplace. Now, this book it's not a big book. It's like, I think, about 100 pages or something. But I suggest to all you listeners out there who really need to sort of focus your energies, this is a great book to start with.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, good. I hope we're always looking for ways to help writers reach a market. Now, of course, you're having now being able to say that wonderful thing, New York Times bestselling author, you know, all the doors are open to you, and it's wonderful. And I'm sure that you know, we'll see some of your work on Hallmark Channel, because it is, as I said, there's always in your books this hope, I think, that things can be better, things can be resolved, that there can be goodness and love, and I think that's what you bring to the readers. So I think your books are great like that.
Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate it. Sometimes authors get, you know, a little paranoid, like, oh, am I doing this right? You know, even after 79 books, it's still, that part's still there.
Yeah, I think probably it's always there. Now, of course, you enjoy meeting with your fans?
Oh, I love it. I just really love going out and meeting people I love to hear about their experiences and what their world's like, because you never know what's going to trigger something and it'll turn up in a book.
That's right. And next thing we know, you're going to meet football players. And then we have a whole other research project to get into, right?
But
right. I love to see, we had here in Tampa, we had what was called the Beach Babes Book Blast, which was a romance writers, and there were 65 romance writers. And it was so wonderful to see the fans lined up to meet their favorite authors, you know, to get selfies and to get the book signed. And it means so much to them. I had never really experienced the romance writers events until I did this Beach Babes Book Blast, which they're going to have another one in the fall. So maybe you'll decide to come in and come to Tampa, and that would be so fun. That would be fun, and we'd love to have you here, and then I can have you in the studio to talk about your books. But I just was so touched by the fans and how much it meant to them that the writers were there, and also romance writers are really wonderful people. I mean, they really help each other. You know, it's not like I think, you know, people who write thrillers and stuff, I'm, you know, international thrillers, that type of thing, I'm not sure that they work so much together, but it's really touching how close the romance writers will help each other and promote each other, and I think that's great.
Yeah, and we hang out at the conferences, and pretty soon you're like friends with everybody in the industry, and every conference is like, oh, reunion time. It you know, it really adds to have a sense of community. It just adds to everyone's life, I think, to have people that are your tribe, you know, people that are like you.
Exactly, and I think that it's so nice for the readers, because, you know, the readers who are looking for escape, who are looking for encouragement, who are looking for inspiration, and they pick up a romance book for all of those reasons, and to get that sort of sense of camaraderie between the authors is really great.
Well, romance readers are just the best. I mean, they read more books than anybody else. I mean, they really do. I mean, statistically, some people read like 30, 40 books a month. You have to be in awe of someone who just stretches their world that much. Because really, reading does stretch your world. I know when I was a little growing up in a small town in Texas, that's all I knew about except for what the books brought to me. And it's amazing how much your world opens up when you have books.
Absolutely, and you know, I also came from a small town in northern Michigan, where of course we had these long, long winters, and you know, we spent our entire childhood just reading these books and going into new, you know, other worlds, and living sort of vicariously for years, and then it really opened the world, and so that we wanted to get out there and explore.
Well, and you don't even really notice how much it's opening your world till you talk to people who don't read, and you're like, you never heard of that? You know? They go, well, where did you hear of it? And you're like, well, I read about it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was recently talking to somebody just in the laundry room, and I mentioned, because in our laundry room, it's sort of half the laundry room is a little library where everybody from the condo building puts their books. And so I would say, oh, I really like that book. I really like that book. Have you read that book? And this person, like, never reads. I thought, whoa, I mean, really? Like, what?
You're like, so bad.
You know, and she really didn't know simple things, simple places that I mentioned. And I was said, oh, there's something wrong here. You really have to read a book because it really does enrich you. And with your books, particularly, I think, as I said, because they have that always something special, something touching. So what are you working on now? Another Stardust
I'm going
book?
To Cupid, Texas. I'm going to Cupid, Texas right now. I'm hopping around. I'm back in Cupid. I'm doing four ranching brothers. It's sort of it's the start of a new series, but it's still set in Cupid. It's four ranching brothers and the four Native American sisters they fall in love with. So I've got a lot of really interesting stuff. And the sisters are all like one's earth element, one's fire, one's water, one's air. So it's fun to explore that dimension.
Well, that sounds great. I would think you'd need to do some research into that.
Yes, I do. Because then you have to find out what goes well with them. You know, you don't want to stick them with somebody that they're going to have too much conflict with that they'll never work it out.
this sounds like it's going to be a fun series.
I'm having a lot of fun with it right now. It's really interesting to look at some of those dynamics and see how that's going to work. So, and I've always, because, you know, I'm was raised in West Texas, been interested in that kind of desert culture and some of those elements that go back to the Native Americans, because that part of Texas wasn't settled until like very, very recently. So it's fun to tap into that.
And as you said, you're a very detailed person, so you'd like to keep you'd plot out all your books, and actually now you're probably plotting out the entire series, right?
I do. With the first one, the first book, you set the tone, so you have to be a little careful because you don't want to put yourself in too much of a box so that by the time you get to the last book, you're stuck with whatever you mentioned in the others. So you also have to go at it where you give enough structure so that the readers get the experience, but not so much structure that you end up boxing yourself in. So that's a fine line to walk as well.
So do you write every day? Are you like a certain number of pages every day?
I do write every day unless, you know, I've scheduled myself time off for whatever reason. But yes, I, especially when I'm on a book, I will write every day for, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours a day. So it's pretty intense when I'm actually in the middle of a book. It, you know, I don't pay much of attention to what's going on except what's in my book when I'm in the middle of a book.
Yeah, so. Forget the laundry. The book comes first.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I have a husband. He does that.
it's wonderful to have a husband who knows how to do laundry, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, he does better than I do.
So. Well, so does mine. So I say, okay, have at it. You know, I'm writing. I can't.
Yeah, I've got to get this book done.
Yeah, it's lovely to be able to say that. So we really have to appreciate these wonderful husbands that we have.
Yeah, I do tell him on a regular basis, you know, I really do appreciate you because, yeah, I would be living in squalor if it wasn't for him.
I know the feeling. I do know one woman who was like so surprised when I said, well, he's doing the laundry. And she said, what? My husband would never do, you know, my husband goes out to play golf. I said, yeah, well, good luck, honey. If my husband went out to play golf all the time and didn't do the laundry, it would be a mess too. So we do have to appreciate them, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're our hunks, and we really don't need those baseball players except in our mind. Except
yeah,
in our mind, right?
That just gets you thinking about romance, right? And then you've got the guy right there for you.
Exactly. And so, and even if we do want to do a little research on our own, what the heck? You know, we have to have some fun in life, right?
Right.
And so it's so much fun to talk to you because, as I said, you can hear the joy in your voice as you're talking about your characters and about your books. And that's what I so want to get across to my listeners, that they have to love what they're doing and not get either bogged down in the idea that I'm going to write the next bestseller and get so obsessed with that idea, or get so obsessed with you know, just, I have to do it, I have to do it. Because you really just have to enjoy it, and then it'll come.
Well, especially when you're first starting out, you should enjoy it because you don't have any of this pressure. So that should be a time of exploration. Mainly, you should appreciate wherever you're at. If you're just starting out, appreciate it. If you're in the middle, and sometimes the middle can be the worst, before you've sold or you've been working really hard, but you're not getting any feedback or not enough feedback, that can be a really time when a lot of people give up. And that's the last thing you should do. Or whether you've been in the business a while and you've started to, you've racked up all these accolades, but then you're like, well, what next? You should just appreciate wherever you are. Whatever you are is part of the journey, and you're right where you're supposed to be. I mean, that's my one message to the writers out there. You're right where you're supposed to be.
Well, Lori, I just want to thank you so much for being on the program today. We're, of course, you have a website called Lori Wild. LoriWilde with an E at the end. LoriWilde.com. And it's a very nice website with all your books on it and lots of interesting information. And tell my listeners, where's your next appearance going to be? Where is our next event you're going to be at?
I'm going to be at the library in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on May the 15th. Then I'm going to be at Printers Row Conference in Chicago from June 11th through 12th. And then I'll be at the Romance Writers of America in San Diego from the 13th through the 16th.
That's a big conference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to be really nice. So and it's wonderful. Romance fans go to these events.
Yes, they do, especially the one we have for literacy. It's a big, like 500 authors, and the publishers donate the books, and the proceeds go to literacy, and it's always just crazy with fans. It's awesome.
Well, I love to see them lined up, and I know the wonderful thing, I mean, they turn out to be the best publicity for you, because when they get a selfie with you, they tweet it, then they, because they're so proud of it. They're so proud, to have met an author, their favorite authors, and they tweet it, and then it gets retweeted and retweeted and retweeted. So one fan can bring you 1,000 fans.
They can. It's a whole different world with technology. Everything's changed, and it's fun to watch. Even though the problems with it, it's. Sometimes we forget that we are living in a revolutionary time. We really are. And it's just, you have to like step back and look at it historically. This is just, things are opening up.
Well, amazing. part of the delight is that because your books are available on Barnes & Noble or Amazon or one of the other, sites, books that were written years ago are now available. And so when somebody finds, like in the old days, your book would come out, it would be out there for a little while in the bookstores, and then it would disappear, and that was it. But now people, if they, I'm sure anyone who reads your latest book, which just came out on Tuesday, Love of the Game, a Stardust, Texas novel, it's a perfect standalone book. You don't need to have read any of your other books to, really enjoy it. But once somebody's read that book, I'm sure they're going to want to go back and read, the first and the second in that series. And that's one of the delights of this new age of
it is.
Because otherwise, people could never go. It was impossible to go and find a book, in a series like that. You'd search.
Yeah, you'd have
search.
To haunt the used bookstores.
Exactly. And, of course, and even some of your very original books, earlier books, they're all available. So once you get a fan for, a current release, you're bound to get them to go back and find out your earlier work. So it's a wonderful thing. I think it's fantastic that this has opened up. One of the things that, now, of course, you have a book that just came out, but I do look for authors whose books came out maybe 4 years ago, and they still don't have their next book. They might be working on it, but it's nice for them to know that somebody can go out and buy that book, and I like to encourage them. As a matter of fact, I did that with one author. I contacted him, and I said, well, I'd like to interview you. He said, well, I haven't written anything for 4 years. I said, well, that's all right. I like that book.
It was a great book. Why
you can
not?
Still buy it. I mean, I don't care, you know, if you haven't written it. So, but I'm working on something. I said, well, I had a feeling you were working on something.
You were.
So now I have a feeling he's going to work harder because now he thought, whoa, somebody's read my book from, you know, 2012, I guess it was. And he said, oh, wow, you know, somebody's interested. And so I was really... I thought I really got a kick out of that. I gave him such a thrill to know that you know somebody could still go back and buy his book. And so,
well, it's people like you that help keep that you know going. That it's possible to like a little gem that got missed. You're able to bring it back and say, hey, you know, take a second look. This book's here is awesome.
Well, that's what I love to do too. So again, I want to thank you so much, Lori, for being on today and. I suggest everyone go to your website, LoriWild.com, and have a look at what Lori's doing. There's connections there to her books and her events that she's going to be at, and also the teaching, the book on teaching, so that you know they can click right there. I think everything's clickable, right? Everything looks clickable.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Got High Concept, and that's a great workbook for writers. And so thanks again, and maybe one day I will come out there on Christmas Eve and get out there to Twilight, Texas. And it's because it sounds like a lot of fun. So
just it sounds awesome. Thank
keep
you
writing,
so much,
and think about coming to our Beach Babes Book Blast. I'll send you a link.
Oh,
because it's
okay,
fun.
Okay, that will be awesome.
It's a wonderful event. And we have a really enthusiastic group of readers here in Florida who flock to these to all of the romance events. So
you're so lucky.
Okay. Well, you know, this is a perfect place to sit on the beach and read and mm-hmm. sit by the pool. And so we have a lot of very, very enthusiastic readers around here. So, okay, take care. And keep
Thank
writing.
You.
Okay.
All righty, will do. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye, Lori. Okay, well, that was fun to talk to Lori. Yeah, you know, I'm going to take... Ed, let's take a quick commercial break, and then I want to come back, and I want to talk about two contests that writers should think about.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Larson & Larson is a proud sponsor of Joy on Paper. Our law firm has the experience and knowledge to help you protect your valuable intellectual property. From trademark, copyright, and patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements, the attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida are here to advise you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-546. 0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com. That's Larson & Larson, your intellectual property attorneys. Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Looking for a good book? Whether you want the latest bestseller or a rare book, Haslam's Bookstore at 2025 Central Avenue in downtown St. Petersburg is the place to visit. Haslam's has been in business for over 70 years and is the largest new and used bookstore in Florida. With 30,000 square feet and over 300,000 books, you'll find just the right book for you. Bestsellers, cookbooks, military, history, and so much more. Check out their website, www.haslams.com, to find out about their special events. Remember, Haslam's, one of Florida's true treasures, 2025 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg, and they're open on Sundays from noon to 5.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. I only have a few minutes, but I want to again mention, as Lori Wilde, who was on a few minutes ago, said, she started off by entering contests, and the more she entered, the more mentions she got, and she followed around until she found an agent who agreed to look at her work. So the best contest, of course, is the Writer's Digest contest. Not only do you get announced on the cover of their magazine and you get $5,000 cash and a big article about you, but you get a paid trip to New York City and you get a nice interviews with agents. So it's a wonderful opportunity. And there are so many categories that you're bound to have something. You know, if you say you're writing a novel, but you've also written some poetry, enter the poetry. You don't know, you know, until you try. You might win. It's amazing. If you look back and go through writersdigest.com and you see some of the poetry that's won before, you might say to yourself, wow, I can do better than that. And to get a mention, an honorable mention, or to win one of the many prizes, because they have hundreds of prizes. But this is from the top industry people, the publishers and agents review this, so it really means something. And whether it's inspirational writing, they have a nice category for that, memoirs, personal essays, mainstream literature, and of course rhyming poetry, non-rhyming poetry, even a stage play, or television or movie script. So all of these are possibilities that you might want to enter, and just go to the website, have a look at the requirements, and just put something out there. Take a chance. It doesn't cost a lot of money for an entry, and take a chance. And one, you'll feel good about it. It's a step forward. You've entered one contest, then enter another one, and enter another one, and enter another one. And eventually, if your work is relatively good, I would say that the odds are that you'll get some kind of a mention, and that helps you when you go out to write your query letter. So think about it, and that's the Writer's Digest contest, which has a deadline of May 6th. And meanwhile, if you have some time this weekend, head off to Miami Avenue Wine Bar. They're going to have some wonderful music on Friday and Saturday night with dancing, and tonight they have light jazz. That's really a cool place to go. And that's Miami Avenue Wine Bar in India Rocks Beach, just down from the post office. So thank you for joining me today. Remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on stage or screen. Meanwhile, remember, live life with love and treasure each day. Find your joy and share it. Bye for now.